former Fox News and the O'Reilly Factor host. He's an excellent author. I'm a World War II history buff, as you know, and I just got his new book maybe about 36 hours ago in the mail. It's called Killing the SS, The Hunt for the Worst War Criminals in History. I cannot wait to read this. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly. Bill, welcome. I guess I could say welcome back to Denver.
Yeah, thanks, Devin. I appreciate it. I used to work at Channel 7 in a beautiful town, as you were describing, and I appreciate you having me on your program.
Absolutely. You know how these things work, and we're greatly appreciative of your time. I know you've been doing these things around the country. We could get right into the book. I admit fully, I just got it, so I haven't read it. I've read, obviously, some of the notes on it. And first and foremost, I do say this sincerely, congratulations, because, you know, I even have described you over the last couple of days on this program. You know, back when you were in Denver, I consider you can be considered a historian, and I don't know if that would have been a label that people put on you back in your Denver days.
Well, when I was in Denver, I was working my way up into the television industry. Actually, Denver was my best stop, I think. I enjoyed the Mile High City better than any other place that I was across the country. But I was a high school teacher. I taught history in a very tough school in Miami. And I was always interested in it and always a little disappointed that the kids really didn't engage because they felt it was boring. Mm. So Killing the SS is the eighth of the Killing series. The first seven, there's 17 million copies in print.
Wow.
It's the best-selling nonfiction book series of all time. And we hit a note because these books, you learn something, but they're actually interesting to read. They buzz along at a real fast clip. And SS is the epitome of that.
We're talking with former Fox host, talk show host, obviously newsman, history teacher, Bill O'Reilly. You can find out more about him, this newest book, Killing the SS, BillO'Reilly.com. How are you doing? I think a lot of people want to know, since they don't see the O'Reilly Factor, they miss you on Fox. How are you?
We run our own operation on BillO'Reilly.com. It's a news agency. We do commentary almost every night on a subscriber basis. And it's very, very successful. I mean, extremely successful. So I'm real pleased that people have found us on BillO'Reilly.com. I don't miss the grind. It's been 45 years in journalism. I left Fox News. It was a complicated situation. But never one day did I say, gee, I wish I was in a rat race. It's gotten really hateful, as you know, with Donald Trump in the White House. And I'm just glad I'm not a part of that right now. But we do analysis every night, and people seem to like it, so I'm doing fine.
I've tried to come up with a creative way, Bill, to ask you this. And the only thing I can think of is really in its simplicity. And you know how that kind of sometimes is the only way to ask a question. What happened? What happened to you?
It's a complicated situation. And I, because I'm under contract still, and I can't really define it for the audience. It's a situation where the originator of Fox News, Roger Ailes, left the company, and when he left the company, everything changed, and there were accusations here and terror there, and you know, it was a really bad scene, and the enemies of Fox News on the far left took advantage of it, and you know, I can't get into it specifically because of contractual and legal reasons, so yeah. I know that I did my best there. I was there for more than 20 years. I made them gazillions of dollars. We were number one for 16 consecutive years. And listen, I'm happy that I'm running my own operation now.
Do you think you were the victim of Me Too?
No, because Me Too didn't exist then. It was more money. It was more people seeking money. And it got out of control, and a lot of people got hurt. So that's what happened. But again, I can't get more specific because there's a lot of legalisms involved.
Yeah. I certainly understand that, and I think, and I know you respect the position I'm in as well, because I've heard from a lot of our listeners.
Sure, I mean, you have to ask the question, and what people should know across the country, not just in Colorado and Denver, is that there is an industry now. And the industry basically makes it very difficult for any man in this country who has power or wealth to operate, because all allegations become facts. We saw that with Kavanaugh, with Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, there wasn't a better exposition in history of this country than that. And I'm sure this guy and his family were shaken to the core. And I'm not taking sides. I don't know what happened. I listened to everybody. I formulated my questions like you do, and I asked them. But at this point, there's not one shred of evidence that Brett Kavanaugh did anything. And yet his life, he was almost totally destroyed. And I think every American should think about that.
Boy, we talked about that for so many episodes, so many hours on this program. Once again, we're talking with Bill O'Reilly. More on him. He's still at it every day. BillO'Reilly.com, his latest book, Killing the SS, The Hunt for the Worst War Criminals in History. Where were you when, and I want to be specific with you, Bill, about, you know, something that we took so many calls on. I took texts and emails from men who said, when Brett Kavanaugh, and forgive my term, but when he went off in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee several weeks ago, men were texting in, I had tears in my eyes. I believed this guy. Where were you when you were watching it, and what was going through your mind specifically with his anger, and were you surprised at how angry he was?
Well, I was in my office, and I was surprised because he's a very deliberate person. I should have done what he did. And that's what I was thinking. I said, I should have done that. But I couldn't do it because I was under a contract. And the people that I worked for did not want me to do that. But Kavanaugh saved himself and his family by doing it. And I don't think it's just men. I think American women, fair-minded women, are saying themselves, listen, we know there's abuse and misconduct, and we know women have gotten hurt. But there has to be corroboration before you condemn someone and destroy their life. I think fair-minded women believe that.
Yeah, we heard a lot of
them. And I think we're seeing a backlash against it now because the Democrats bought so heavily into the destruction of Brett Kavanaugh, which was a huge political mistake. And I think we're seeing a backlash now.
Bill O'Reilly joins us here on 710 KNUS. I'm Stephen Tubbs, 12 minutes after 6 o'clock, and welcome to those of you listening later via our podcast, 710knus.com. Pick up Bill's book. You know, millions and millions of copies out there. His latest, Killing the SS. I truly do, because I have been fortunate enough to travel the world with our greatest generation and World War II veterans. I want to get into specifics about the book, but just a couple more questions as to what you what you just said, Bill, about the backlash. I've talked about that on this program as well. We all know. Boy, did blue wave come into all of our lexicon. What do you foresee happening November 6th?
Well, I'm an analytical guy. I don't do speculation, which is why I've been successful for so many years. And I'm looking at Real Clear Politics, which is an excellent source for people who want facts and not emotion about the upcoming midterm elections. So you basically have a situation where the vote for the Senate, looks like the Republicans are pick up 2 or 3 seats to add to their 51. That's what it looks like now. The polls have shifted in places like Nevada, in places like Missouri, in Texas, shifted to the Republican candidate. So that's without any doubt. Now, they could shift back, but I don't think so. I mean, people are going to remember this Kavanaugh business, and that's what I think is driving a lot of this shift. Now, in the House, it's very hard because each race is different. It's a much more intimate thing. It's a 2-year term. a lot of money. I mean, if you have money and you can run in your district, that's really going to help you. And there's a lot of Soros money going in, far left money going in to a lot of these districts to elect Democrats. So it's really impossible to predict. But if you look at the Real Clear polling, in August, the gap between those who wanted Democrats elected and those who wanted Republicans elected was about 12 to 14%. That gap's down to 4 to 5 after Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. So you got to say that this is shifting people away from the Democratic Party. And here's why. I asked my staff, I said, research to see if one elected Democrat in a position of prominence, governor, congressperson, senator, one, stood up for due process and presumption of innocence, said anything supporting that. Get me one. We could not find anyone. Hmm. Not one Democrat in this country stood up for presumption of innocence in the Kavanaugh hearings. People notice that, and they don't like it. Because if Kavanaugh can go down, if O'Reilly can get hurt, anybody can go down. And I think people are starting to figure that out. And again, each case has to be taken on its own merits. If there's evidence of misconduct or whatever, that absolutely should be adjudicated and taken seriously. But just accusations? I mean, what's going to happen to these two women, not Ford, but the other two women?
Well, one of them right here, Billy. Yeah, one of them right here in Colorado, Deborah Ramirez.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you step forth and you say this, and there's nothing to back it up.
Yep.
And what happens to you? Now, Kavanaugh and his family could sue them. He could absolutely do that, but he won't. He's a Supreme Court justice now. But, you know, you got to figure, and I'm not saying that the woman in Colorado lied. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that she stepped up without any corroboration.
Correct.
And, you know, if you're going to do that, then there's got to be some kind of responsibility in this whole thing. And that's what we're lacking right now.
All I can say to you, Bill O'Reilly, is amen. I want to take you back to the Senate Judiciary Committee. I want to get we're not going to play the whole thing, but this to me, I went on the air as this happened. I think actually, I can't remember if we played this, if this was live during the show, but let me take you, it was a couple of hours before we went on the air, but let me take you back to one Lindsey Graham and maybe his Hall of Fame moment.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that, not me.
What do you think of that? What did you think of that? I thought, wow, who in the hell is this Lindsey Graham?
I respect Graham. I've known him for a long time. And I applauded what he did, but I thought that he could have done it a little bit differently. Because Dianne Feinstein is the villain,
the
senator from California. She's the villain. She held the letter back from Ford for 6 weeks. And as the senator said, she could have given it to the Senate Judiciary Committee for investigation and the FBI, both. And they both would have kept Dr. Ford's name out of it. She didn't.
In the meantime,
explained it.
And in the meantime, Feinstein's staff is finding a law firm for Ford.
And that not just a law firm, the most radical left law firm in the country. That flagged me right away. If I'm a woman and I'm abused, do I hire a far left political lawyer? No, I don't. I hire a forensic lawyer. Someone who knows this world, who's dealt with this before. Okay, that's who I hire if I want justice. Not a political firm that, if you look at what they did, the lead lawyer apologized for Al Franken. Okay, said, oh, well, what are you getting Franken for? He's a comedian. He can do whatever he wants. I mean, come on. And Ford had to know that. She had to know where she was going. These people aren't shy. They have a long record. Feinstein gave her that firm. So, you know, I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. This is a political thing.
Yep.
That's what this is. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. I do not think there's any doubt about it. Now, whether Dr. Ford was, you know, naive, maybe she was. I just don't know the woman. But I know those lawyers weren't naive. They were gunning for one thing, destroy Brett Kavanaugh. Not justice for Dr. Ford, destroy him. That's what they wanted.
Yeah. My final comment on that would be as well, then Feinstein sits in her office on Capitol Hill and has a one-on-one as Kavanaugh meets with, you know, 64 others, including Senator Feinstein, and none of this is brought up. It was politics to me at one of its ugliest in recent memory. Once again, we're talking with Bill O'Reilly, Denver Connections. He worked here at Channel 7, former history teacher. His new book, Killing the SS, and you got to pick it up. Media-wise, Donald Trump, fake news, look at him, turn around. How would you have handled that on the O'Reilly Factor?
Well, I interviewed Trump scores of times. I've known him 30 years. I don't know whether you know that, Stefan, but I've known him a long, long time. And I gave him a lot of jazz when he was running, and I did the first big interview with him, Super Bowl Sunday after he was elected. And I didn't give Donald Trump any quarter. I mean, I wasn't rooting for him, and I wasn't trying to make him look good or look bad. I'm doing what you're doing. I'm asking the questions that I think my audience wants to know the answer to, and then I'm insisting he answer. That's what I did to Barack Obama. That's what I did to Bush the Younger. I mean, that's the way I operate. But I was appalled when I left Fox News to see the level of vitriol and the naked dishonesty of the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, NBC News, when 90% of your coverage on the nightly news is negative toward any individual, you got to stop and ask yourself a question, what's going on? And this, all the studies, the three nightly news broadcasts, 90% of the coverage of Trump is negative. That's almost impossible. The economy is doing very well. What happened to ISIS? What happened to ISIS?
Right.
ISIS was wiped out by the Defense Secretary Mattis. Okay? Where's the coverage on any of this? It doesn't exist, because it's get Trump. Those are the orders. That's what's being done. Corrupt all day long.
Bill O'Reilly, our guest here on 710 KNUS, his book, Killing the SS. I want to get to, I saw a film last night in preparing to talk about your book that I, again, just received, and I hate having authors on that I haven't read the book, but please forgive me on that. But I saw a film last night. It was a Danish-German kind of compilation. They had production teams. It's called Land of Mine, and I had never seen this. It's in subtitles, and it's about Denmark post-World War II and the primarily 2,000 mostly young men, teenagers, that had to go and clear the beaches of Denmark of mines that the Germans had laid. And I thought it was just a fascinating film, and it leads into your fascination with World War II. And our audience knows, you know, if I got hit by a bus, I'd be, oh, wasn't he that guy that supported our veterans? And I'm proud of that. My question to you is, what is it about World War II, and specifically in this latest book, Killing the SS, the pursuit of these war criminals after VE Day, after VJ Day, that kind of led you on this path in, again, a series of the killing books that you've written so far?
Well, this is our third book about World War II. We did Killing the Rising Sun, and there we dealt with the Japanese war criminals, none of whom escaped, because nobody would harbor them, and they were all captured and hung, or they committed suicide. So we wrapped that up, and there were those Japanese war criminals were just as bad as the Nazis. Then we did Killing Patton, and Killing Patton we ended with the occupation of Germany after Hitler committed suicide. But then we had all the stuff left over about the SS and how they escaped after the Third Reich collapsed, and who helped them. And it was an amazing story. I mean, you had the Red Cross out of Switzerland helping them. You had the elements of the CIA helping them. You had elements of the Catholic Church in Italy helping them. And it was stunning, because these people were so evil. And really, Killing the SS is about evil. And that's the other reason I wrote it, because evil's on the rise in America. People think, oh, the SS, they were fanatics and they were trained in camps. No. The concentration camp guards were farmers and merchants and store owners, okay? They were regular people. And war breaks out, and they volunteer to be guards in the concentration camps, and then they kill babies and millions of people. These are ordinary people, ordinary Germans. And then after the war, they all scatter. Some of them got to America. Even today, they're hunting them down. The woman got to San Francisco on a refugee visa and was there for 50 years. She was an SS guard. There were women SS guards. We write about how horrible they were. She was in the USA for 50 years. They finally found her, deported her. Still alive in Germany today, and every month gets a United States Social Security check.
Wow.
Elfriede Huth is her name. So that's the kind of research we did for this book. And then we showed you how they got away. A lot of them went to South America, and how the Perón government in its Evita in Argentina took massive amount of money to hide them. We're talking Eichmann and Mengele, Martin Bormann, Hitler's second in command, all got away to Argentina. How did they do it? It's unbelievable tale. It is an incredible tale. You will read it, Stephen, in 2 days, maybe one day. That's how the thing just whips through. But every page, you're going to learn something going, this is incredible.
Yeah, your book.
And the last chapter of Killing the SS, I don't even talk about it because it'll snap your head back what happened. And the reason we were able to get this research was because the Mossad and the Israeli government loves Martin Dugard and I. He's my co-author, because we wrote Killing Jesus, and we had, you know, a very good relationship with the government of Israel, and they opened their files that nobody had ever seen before on the hunt for these Nazis, these SS people. So we got stuff that nobody's ever gotten before. And, the book is very compelling. It sold 1,400 copies the first 1,400. It sold 140,000 copies in the first 6 days.
That's incredible.
140,000.
And I'm just looking. I got the book in front of me, and in the prologue, you start May 7th, 1945 in Reims, France, and I had a chance to go there and see that, where the surrender was, and just to see that red kind of brick schoolhouse where that was. Do you travel? Do you find that you need to in today's day and age with research at our fingertips? Do you like to travel and research these books?
I do. Dugard does most of it because I'm so busy with what I have to do here, analyzing news in America. But I've been to 85 countries. I've been to all these places. I've been to the concentration camps. I know Germany pretty well, and France and Italy. I've been to Argentina. I covered the Falkland Islands War from there. So I've been around. I know the landscape. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As we wrap up in our final few minutes with Bill O'Reilly, again, the book Killing the SS. Listen, I hope that you'll come back to your former hometown. You lived here for how long?
2 years. Lived in Aurora.
Well, there you
Aurora, Colorado. Please go to the Falls. It was so great. I had such a good time.
Well, I'm looking out at Aurora right now out of my window. So even if you don't have a book, I'd love to have you back maybe early next year.
And if you read the book, I'll come on again in a couple of weeks if you want, once you get it. Because I know, I'm sure you'll have questions.
Oh, yeah. And this is right in my wheelhouse. Couple more questions. I got to ask these as you would even on a talk show, even if you're interviewing Trump. And what if any regrets do you have about the way, with what you can say, because I totally respect, you're under contract and all of that. But what could you tell our audience? You know what? If I had it to do over, I would have done X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody makes mistakes in life. And what I look at is I had 20 plus years there. I had 45 years in the news business, and I had a tremendous career. And it's like getting cancer, or it's like getting hit by a car or some disaster that happens to you. You just have to accept it. All right. I mistreated no one, but I got hammered in circumstances far beyond my control. But my kids are fine. Everybody's happy. I'm doing the best I can with the new gig on BillO'Reilly.com. That's exploding. The books still sell real well. So I'm not a brooder. You know, mistakes, every human being's going to make them. But I did the best I could, and that's where I'm going to lay it on the line. Yeah. I did the best that I could.
You dedicate this book, Bill, Killing the SS, to your son. And when I read that part, I thought, you know what? I mean, no matter how old your kids are, they're always, as you well know, man, they're your babies. They're your kids. And
yeah,
look at Brett Kavanaugh and up there. And you know, when he was sworn in after the Saturday vote, and I looked at that picture, the family looked tired. The little girls are there. And I'm thinking,
that was the worst part of it.
Right.
You know, and I felt so terrible for them. And then I saw these people who were celebrating the attack on Kavanaugh. Again, I don't know what he did or what he didn't do, but there's no corroboration. And his kids got hammered, his wife, his parents. And I just sat there going, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And it was wrong.
And the reason I brought that up is because no matter how old your kids are, I mean, you dedicate this Killing the SS to your son, Spencer. And I mean, at some point, man, you're a dad, I would assume. You're a dad first,
yeah,
and everything
else.
Later.
That's the most important thing to me, and they know who I am, and they know, and so does my staff. I mean, I took six of my staff from Fox over to BillO'Reilly.com. Everybody knows who I am. I'm not a subtle guy. They know who I am. They know I treat people fairly. In 45 years, I had no problem, and all of a sudden, a bomb dropped on me. That happens in life.
It does. Final question: who's your football team?
You know, I like the Jets. They dismantled the Broncos a few weeks ago. When I was out there during the Red Miller days, there was no better team on earth than the Denver Broncos. They got a little rebuilding to do now. But Elway's a smart guy. And Kubiak is a very good guy. I know him.
Yep.
So I think the Broncos will be back probably next year.
And Trump wins in 2020? Yes or no? I know you're not a prognosticator.
We don't know who he's running against.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's impossible to say. He's so unpredictable, and things change every hour on the hour. Every hour on the hour, things change.
They do. My friend, I can't thank you enough for the candor and the time.
I enjoyed it, and read the book. Call me back, and I'll come on again with you.
I will take you up on that offer. Bill O'Reilly, everybody. Bill O'Reilly, the book, Killing the SS. That was 30 straight minutes. Our sponsors are wondering, is your audience going to hear from us? And yes, we will have a break. We'll get you some traffic and get caught up. In the moments we have remaining until 7 o'clock, your reaction to Bill O'Reilly's interview. 303-696-1971, 696-1971. I do want to give a special shout out just in case he's listening. This interview was made in large part possible to a former colleague of mine at ABC News when I worked at the network for 7 years, Wayne Fisk. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting Bill on. And we look forward to having him on. I'm going to read this book quickly, but I may pace it out. And maybe I'll just finish, winky, winky, right after the midterms. How do you like that? 303-696-1971. Your phone calls and more. Coming up next, I'm Stephen Tubbs, 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710. Update.
President Trump honoring a Vietnam War veteran with the Medal of Honor tomorrow. Tom Roberts here.
Retired Marine Sergeant Major John Canley is being recognized for fighting off enemy attacks while leading some wounded Marines to safety in 1968. He did so after suffering shrapnel injuries. The Medal of Honor is the nation's top military award.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo still calling his time.